It is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Her name is Linda P. from Colorado. Her sobriety date is back in the year of 1998. Very good year, I might add. If you don't think that's good enough, if you're a motorcycle rider, which I heard tonight we got a few riders in the house, be good. She went all the way from Los Angeles to New York and back again on a round trip on a motorcycle. I was just saying, that's like a world record in my book, because I think my derriere would be sore after about maybe Pixley or Porterville. So could we go ahead and give a warm Valley Group welcome to Linda P. from Colorado?
Thank you, Jim. Hi, my name is Linda, and I'm an alcoholic. It's super good to be here. I'm looking forward to in-person meetings, but Zoom has really opened the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous in a very big way, and I'm grateful for that. I'm 22 years sober, and today especially, I'm brought back to Chapter 5 that... Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. But I'm also reminded that I'm still off. Maybe you're an alcoholic who got sober, worked the steps, and now you're perfect. And I'm really happy for you if that is the case. That is not the case for me. I am still a liar. I am still a cheat. I am still a con. At 22 years of sobriety, my first thought is I got a lie. And a month ago, I applied for a victim's advocate position with the police department out here. And they interviewed me, and then they said, you have to have a polygraph. And I was like, oh no. Okay, no problem. And then from that day forward, I kept thinking, how do you pass a polygraph? Because I'm going to lie. Like, that's just a given. So how do you pass a polygraph? Now, Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me to talk to people. So I'm gathering the new girls around here under 5 years of sobriety. And I say to them, I have to do a polygraph. And, I'm pretty sure I can lie and beat it. And they all have the same reaction. Their mouth drops open. They're like, Linda, it's a polygraph. And I'm thinking to myself, well, either you're not a real alcoholic that tried to beat the system, or you're just not sober long enough to know, like, at 22 years of sobriety, you can now lie and beat the polygraph. You cannot, but that's what I'm thinking. So I go to the morning of the polygraph. I get down on my knees and I say, you know, God, put the words in my mouth that you want me to say. And most of all, put the words in my ears that you want me to hear. And that was critical for me. And I went to that polygraph, and they asked me questions like, have you ever done illegal drugs? Yes. What kind? You know, I put needles in my arm. Have you ever drank on the job? Yes. When's the last time? 22 years ago. Did you graduate from high school? No. Did you get your GED? No. What was your last job? How much did you make? Six figures. And the guy's like eyebrows, and he's looking at me, and he's asking the questions over and over, because on paper it looks strange. You know, like, how did you go from a drug addict, alcoholic, high school dropout, you know, homeless, street urchin that ran with prison guys to a member of society? Like, how does that happen? And he didn't ask that question, but I answered the question. And then he kind of threw in this little trick question, and he said, besides everything you have revealed to me, have you done anything else dishonest? And that question stumped me. Because I was like, how do I answer that? And then I remembered that prayer in the morning. It was like, God, help me hear what you want me to hear. And so I said, yes, I've done things dishonest. And then I leave, and I'm waiting. It's been like a week and a half. And I know they're going to say, you know, we're very sorry. I don't know what the heck you were thinking. Why would you apply for this position? You are absolutely not qualified. And I get an email today, and she says, I want to congratulate you. You passed the polygraph. You passed the background check. She said, I don't know who and what you are, but people love you, and we're going to send you to the academy. And I'm like, what? Like, how does that happen? How do I go from that to the police academy? Like, what? I can't believe it. I haven't changed my story. Nothing has been different. I'm still a high school dropout. But Alcoholics Anonymous has given me integrity. It has changed me from the inside out. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I was like when I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't believe I belonged here. I got to listen to your stories, and you guys are messed up. Like, you need to get sober. Like, your lives are in the toilet. If my life got that bad, I'll check myself in, but it's fine. Like, I think I got it together. And the truth is, I don't have anything together. You know, long before I'm drinking, I'm participating in crime. I'm 14 years old. I'm loan sharking. I would have told you that I like to work, and the truth is I like money, and I like to multiply my money, and I like to multiply it illegally because it multiplies faster. So I'm loan sharking at 14. I haven't had a drink or a drug yet, but those are my ideas. I charge 12.5% interest, and those boys pay me weekly payments. And one of those boys came to me and said, I can't pay your contract back. So I go to the local high school, I hire two football players because, dude, you signed the dotted line. If you couldn't pay, you shouldn't have signed. Now, I don't renegotiate. And I told those two football players, I want my money come Monday morning. I don't care what you do or what you say. And I never found out what happened. I didn't really care. What I cared about is my money was on the porch. And again, I haven't had a drink yet. That's how I interact with life. I started drinking at the age of 15. I'm a blackout drinker from the get-go. I don't understand slowing down, controlling your drinking, like one or two. What is the point? Like, the point is pick up the bottle, put the bottle down when the bottle is empty, and be in oblivion within the first 15 minutes of drinking. There's no other reason to drink. That's how I feel. So I'm not a nice girl. I don't go to nightclubs. Like, I'm not one of those. I drink in corner biker bars. They're dark, they're smoky, and there's no competition. And I'm a messy drunk, and I started as a messy drunk. But more than that is I got other problems than alcohol. And, you know, I've been taught here in Alcoholics Anonymous that if my problem was just alcohol, I could stop drinking and my life would straighten out. But that's not what happens to me. Like, I already told you how I was thinking at 22 years of sobriety. Now, thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous that you have taught me it doesn't matter what I think. What matters are my actions. And I went to that polygraph and I told the truth. But that's not what I wanted to do. And so I'm out there. Men are a big part of my story. I have a very good picker. I like them going into prison or coming out of prison. I like them tatted out from head to toe, and I like them not to work. I don't know what that's about, but it took me a very long time in sobriety to learn that. I like getting black eyes. I like getting roughed up. It just makes me feel comfortable. And I know that's an oxymoron, but that is the truth. And my first kind of long-term hostage is now in prison for life because he murdered two people and seriously maimed another. And 6 hours before he murdered those people, my four-year-old daughter's asleep on his chest. And I'll tell you that it took me till I was 9 years sober before I realized the danger that I had placed that little girl in. It just didn't occur to me. Like, doesn't everyone have people who murder people in their life? Come on. Like, that's standard practice. If you don't have someone who's murdered someone in your, you know, bag of tricks, you better make some more friends, because those are necessary individuals, or so I thought. And, you know, I'll tell you that when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't belong, I didn't relate, I wasn't like you people, my life was a little bit off, but it wasn't that bad. And this is what my life looked like when I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. My little four-year-old is 10. That little girl is attempting suicide because she doesn't know what to do in her life. My son is 15 years of age, being arrested on a weekly basis. My stepson is 15, stealing cars, beating up on people. My stepdaughter is pregnant with twins at the age of 17. And that husband of mine, he's been barricaded in the bedroom for the last 2.5 months, with the doors and the windows screwed shut with a loaded semi-automatic rifle. And I don't need Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't have a drinking problem. I'm pretty sure he has a drinking problem. And if he would just come out of that bedroom, we would be okay. And, you know, God intervened on February 14th, 1998. 9 cop cars were at my house. The bomb squad was there. The SWAT team was on its way. And now I'm going to go work for the police department. Like, how does that happen? And he went to jail and I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't relate. Like, you talked about morning drinking. I never drank in the morning. But by 9 a.m. I'd be in a blackout. That's not morning drinking. I don't know what morning drinking is, but I know that's not morning drinking. I never drank and drove. And the truth is, I just never got caught. I never got a DUI. I always drank and drove. And I'm a blackout. So I drive in blackout. And I take my glasses off, and I cannot see the screen right now without my glasses on. And it wasn't any better then, but I thought I could. So I don't know why I didn't get a DUI. I just didn't get caught. And, you know, I just hung out here in Alcoholics Anonymous because I didn't know what else to do. And Zoom is kind of funny because, like, I can kind of peek into your lives now. And, but when I was coming to AA, I was still drinking. Because I don't have a drinking problem. I could stop anytime I want. I don't want. So I'm just going to go to AA and keep drinking. But I would come to your house, and your houses look like Sean's house and Emily's house and, you know, Oren's house, Orion. Sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong. And there's no holes in the walls. There's no graffiti on the walls. There's glass in the windows. And I'm sure all of you have that creepy hallway. You walk down the hallway from the living room to the bathroom. And what's hanging on both sides of the hallway? Family portraits. Like, that is so creepy. When I first got sober, they told me, you got to hang family portraits. I went to some garage sales and I got like old-timey 18th century photographs and hung them up. And I ain't hanging my family on the wall. Like, that's weird. Something wrong with that. But I came to your houses and I saw something there. You know, Bill, I believe, is married. And he would be speaking kindly to his wife. And he even let his wife speak back to him. Like, I was blown away, like, with that. Like, I thought, isn't he going to, like, polecock you? And she would look at me like, no. And I just didn't understand it. It didn't make any sense to me at all. So I decided on September 8th, 1998, I'd check myself into AA. I'm going to give you 30 days. You're going to teach me how to pick a different man. And then I'm going to go back out because I don't have a drinking problem. And 3 days into that sobriety, I realized, like, I was in big, big trouble. And I got a sponsor right away because, you know, I've been hanging out here for 8 months. You talked about a sponsor. I got a sponsor right away, and I went to her, and I said, what am I supposed to do with my life? And she said, your life is way too screwed up. I just want you to come to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I thought, I've been cheated. Like, wait a minute, I've been hanging out here for 8 months watching you guys get a life, and I don't get a life? Like, that's not right. She said, your life is way too broken. Just come to meetings. And I didn't know what else to do. So that's what I did. And my little girl was comatose on the couch, and my boy is still getting arrested every week. And when I was 30 days sober, my sponsor said, your son needs a lot more help than you can give to him. And the next time he's arrested, I want you to relinquish custody of him to the courts. And I looked at my sponsor, I'm like, I'm 30 days sober. There's no way I can stay sober through something like that. And my sponsor said, you could stay sober through anything. You just come to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. You set up the chairs. You mop the floors, you wash the coffee cup, and you find the newcomer in the room. And I thought to myself, that's stupid. Like, I don't know what the heck that has to do with fixing my life. But she's not giving me any other hints. So I don't know what else to do, and I do those things. And I give up custody of my kid, and you know, one of my biggest secrets that I came to Alcoholics Anonymous with is I was a bad mom. I abused my kids. I allowed them to be abused. My son had been drinking and using since he was 9 years of age. And he went into a boy's home, and 30 days later, he AWOL'd. And from the age of 15 to 22, he lived homeless, out in Tahunga, living on flat rooftops, going to Kmart to clothe and feed himself. And I would think to myself, I can't stay sober through this. Like, I know my boy is where he's at as a direct result of the things I've done to him. And my sponsor said, you're right. He might be. But there's nothing you can do about it except be a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so that's what I did. And I've had a tough path with my kid. You know, I made amends with him until I was 13 years sober. And I would go to my sponsor and I would say, like, you know, if he would get sober, we could have a relationship. And my sponsor would say, you have two choices. You can either keep making amends or you can stop having him in your life. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. And my kid's always been either institutionalized or homeless. He's 38 years old. And, you know, if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm here to tell you that you can stay sober no matter what. No matter what. I guarantee it. If you do the deal, you can stay sober no matter what. And 6 years ago, my kid had a two or three suicide attempts, and I decided that this is not working. So I went and found him on a street corner, and I put him in a little apartment, and I said, you know, maybe if I give you some support, you could get better. And a few months later, in a psychotic break, he barricades himself and me in his apartment. He pulls a shotgun out of the closet, repeatedly points it at me. He shoots himself, and then there proceeds a six-hour standoff with the SWAT team. Now, sometimes in Alcoholics Anonymous, we say there are no big deals. And I think that's a big deal. Like, my feelings are so enormously large that I want to go to the store and buy duct tape and just wrap my body in, because I don't know how to even remotely deal with those feelings. And I call my sponsor and I'm like, I think this is a good reason to drink. And she said, I want you to go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, F Alcoholics Anonymous. AA can't fix this. She said, I promise AA will work. I'll find you someone to help you tonight. Now, thank God not all of you have that kind of experience. She made a bunch of phone calls, and by the end of that night, I had a woman in Georgia and a man in New York who walked me every step of the way. My son survived that that shooting. He had six plates placed in his face, and things didn't get better for him. And, you know, it was tough. But I didn't have to walk through that alone. And 2 years ago, my sponsor and I decided that it was just not safe for me to stay in California anymore. My boy could not stay away from my house. And, you know, the police, they don't want to prosecute when it's your son, I understand. And so I resigned my job after 19 years. I sold my house, and I was like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I've never lived anywhere else. And my sponsor said, you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, no matter where you're at, you just go to AA. And 2 weeks before my house was going to close escrow, I was in court with one of my sponsees, and I got a phone call. And it was the police, and they said to me, you need to come home. And I get home, and there's about 15 cop cars in front of my house, and the helicopters are circling my house, and they're calling my kid's name out on the bullhorn. And I remember thinking, like, I am 15 years sober. Like, why is this happening? Well, 19 then. And I called my sponsor again, and she said to me, it's not happening to you, it's happening to your son. This is just life on life's terms. And you can go to Alcoholics Anonymous and share about this stuff, or you can drink. And I don't want to drink. So that's what I did. I came to AA, and I shared about it, and I left the country, and, you know, my boy got worse, and he's had a few more suicide attempts, seven, and then on Thanksgiving, he got arrested for arson, and he's looking at 15 years in prison. Now, this is Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, he don't know where I'm at. He writes to me at a P.O. box, but he calls me, and I tell him that I'm proud of him. And I tell him that he's doing a really good job. Because even though he's incarcerated, he stays sober. He reads, he tries to educate himself. It's not my job to tell him, you gotta get better. It's not my job to tell him, like, dude, you ruined my life. Like, I had to give up a really great career. Those were my choices. My job is just to treat him like I would any other newcomer of Alcoholics Anonymous and tell him that even if it's a little tiny thing, that he remembers to call me at 2 p.m. instead of 1:30. I'm really glad that you kept your commitment. I'm really glad that you're being responsible. And that's a result of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I'll tell you that it's hard. You know, I don't like to admit that I'm afraid of my son's behavior. But I am. But I know that I don't have to do any of this alone. Like, I get to come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I get to share about this stuff, and I get to talk about it, and somebody in the room gets help. And that's the magic of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I'm thinking about you, I can't be thinking about me, and there's the solution of all my problems. No matter what. You know those nights that we lay there and we think about, is this going to happen or is that going to happen or am I going to get enough money to pay the rent? Those obsessive thoughts, when I go be of service to someone else, I go to the park and pick up dog poop because AA was closed for a while and I couldn't do commitments at the clubhouses and I had to do something because I was going crazy. So I went to the supermarket and I put the baskets away and, you know, just anything to be of service. And, you know, new girls came to my house and they were just as afraid as I was. And we sewed 400 masks and passed them out and just like stay in service of other people. And we get through that stuff. You know, I moved to Colorado a few years ago. I had a little stroke there in California. I was working on a farm, and I had a blackout in this stroke, and I came to, and there was a bunch of chickens running all over the place, and I had no idea where those chickens came from. I didn't know who the president of the United States was. And my daughter flew to the hospital, and she said, you're coming back to Colorado with me. And I said to her, oh, no, I got stuff to do. She said, you go on in there. You call your sponsor. Let's see what she says. And my sponsor said, guess you're going to Colorado. And I'll tell you, I was so afraid. I was so afraid. Because, you know, my daughter lives like a normal life here. And I don't know how that happened because she was raised in that violent home. But I go into her little apartment. She got daisies painted on the wall. They have this little blind dog that they just, you know, fawn over this dog. Her and her husband, she has this husband. One time she called me from the airport. She said, Mama, I made a mistake. I said, what happened? She said, we're at the airport to go to the wedding, and the tickets that I bought were for last week. And I was like, oh, my God, what does your husband say? Because that's what I think. Like, he's going to clock you right there in the airport, because now you got to buy two tickets. And she said, oh, Mama, he don't care. He just said, oh, we'll just buy another ticket and get to where we're going. And I just cry because I asked her one time, I'm like, how is it possible that you picked a man like that? And she says to me, Mama, you taught me. And I thought, well, unless you do the complete opposite of what I do, I don't know how that's possible. And she said, you know, I listened to the things you told those women that you sponsored. And when I came to college in Colorado, I practiced those things. And her husband is just the sweetest, kindest. Like, he just thinks this girl walks on water and she's a pain in the ass. But he just loves her. And I'm just like, I'm blown away. Now, I don't know if you caught it or not, but that little girl came to Colorado to go to college. And I don't know how that happened. Like, she graduated high school because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then she came to me and she said, I want to go to college, Mama. And I said, no, 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 no. I'm a high school dropout. Like, college is expensive. I don't know how to make this happen. no, no, no. And she says to me, let's go on down to Alcoholics Anonymous and ask them how I can go to college. And we weren't allowed to have guns in the house because at that moment I wanted to shoot her. So we went to the meetings of AA and I asked you, like, how do I send my daughter to college? And you told me, like, fill out these applications and submit them and do all this stuff. And I'm like, they ask really hard questions. Like, what are your assets? I never had an asset except the one on my caboose. I don't know what to do. And the college that she wants to go to is $85,000. I'm like, this is insanity. And they told me, just, you know, put in the applications and God will take care of the rest. And she got accepted into that private university. And when I brought her here to college, like, I knew those other moms were going to look at me and know I was an alcoholic. Like, they would know you are uneducated, you are rough around the edges, you still ride a Harley, you got tattoos all over you. We do not want your kid with our kid. And the women in Alcoholics Anonymous said, just go be of service. You know, they all have to carry their stuff up the stairs into the dorm room. The women said, just carry their stuff. You'll be a hero. So that's what I did. I spent the whole weekend carrying other kids' stuff up. Everyone wanted to room with my daughter because they were so shocked. And all I did is what you taught me to do here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Think about somebody else. And, you know, she graduated from college. She has all these degrees. I don't know what they mean. I'm a high school dropout, but they make her happy. And I went to AA and I said, well, it was your guys' bright idea to send her to college. Now I have all this debt. What do I do with it? And you told me, you pay it back $1 at a time. And that's what we did. You know, and it all worked out. Like, it was fine. You know, I have a life today that it doesn't look like what I thought it should look like. I've made a lot of mistakes in Alcoholics Anonymous. But the one mistake I've never made is I never drank. You know, I got married here when I was 4 years sober. I didn't want to marry this guy. He was, like, very square. He had no tattoos. He had never been to jail, let alone prison. And, you know, a girl like me, I got some standards here. And he worked every day. Like, what is that? What self-respecting man goes to work? And I had a really hard time in the beginning of that marriage because he would call me and he would say, I got off work early and I'm going to go to the market. What would you like me to get? And I would hang up on him and I would say, I'll call you back. And I would call my sponsor and I'd be like, that son of a gun, he's doing it again. And she'd say, what's going on? I said, he wants to buy something at the market for me. She said, well, tell him you need a dozen eggs and a gallon of milk. I said, oh, I don't need a dozen eggs or a gallon of milk. She said, yeah, tell him that you need it and then say thank you. And I would tell her, I'd rather shoot him. She said, yeah, that's why you don't have guns. So I'd call him back and I would say, you know, I need a dozen eggs and a gallon of milk and thank you very much. And, you know, and then I'd get home and he would just be loving and kind to me. And I hated it. I could not stand it. And I would tell him, like, can't you just, like, yell at me or push me up against the wall or something? And he'd say, no, but I could give you a hug. And I would just sit down on the floor and I would cry. Because it just flipped me out until it didn't. And that's what happens with Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, until it didn't. And then I loved when he was kind to me. Then I got smart, and he would ask me, you need some money? I always needed money. Yeah, I need $100. And then I'd stash it in the drawer and go buy him stuff with it. But he was just a sweet, kind guy. And then he drank. And, you know, I can't handle alcohol in any container. And I got a divorce. And he got remarried 10 years ago. That man is looking at 3 different felonies in the last 30 days. He calls me and he just cries on the phone. He's like, I cannot quit drinking. Him and his wife beat each other up. And I think to myself, like, what happened to that sweet, kind man that I knew? And what happened was alcoholism. That's what happened. And sometimes he asks me, like, why do you keep talking to me? And I said, you know, you're just another human of Alcoholics Anonymous. And maybe one day you'll get it. And, you know, it's not for me to judge. It's just for me to be kind to him. And I bring him to meetings, and I put him with the men of the Alcoholics Anonymous, and I just say a prayer for him. And I know that it's those things that, it may sound strange, but it's those things that let me pass that polygraph. It's those things that let me have that stroke and I'm not paralyzed today. It's those things that let me lay down at night and wake up with peace, with no black eyes. It's those things that my daughter calls me and says, I miss you. When do I get to see you? And I think to myself, I was just there yesterday. I don't say that. And I say, I'll come tomorrow. We'll have dinner. And I sit at her table, and we have a family dinner, and we sew on a blanket together. And I think, never, ever, in a million years, did I want this to be my life. Sew on a blanket? Are you kidding me? Like, let's go to fisticuffs in the parking lot, yeah. But sew on a blanket and talking about, I don't know, the dog? But those are the things that bring me the most joy. Alcoholics Anonymous has made me into the very thing I have never, ever wanted to be. A lady. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.